When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility, with digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. And look, let's talk through some things. Where people start or begin their journey is very, very important, right? What starts well, ends well. Like that's just the way it goes. And for me, and I think for a lot of people probably in the chat, a lot of people that, you know, are 49ers fans, this season has not started well. It's not good. The 49ers are currently in last place, in fact. Not great. Not great, Bob. And that's this year. We're 3-4. Now, I understand. We've been there before. You've made it to the NFC Championship before in these situations. I get that. I get all that. But I want to step back even further than just this year. Yeah, you've had a bad start. Has it gone well? But go back to when you personally became a fan. And if you've got time to throw like a quick sentence or two in the chat, that's awesome. Like, how did you become a fan? You guys know me. This is episode 1200 and something. I've been doing this for a little while. This game, the 49ers versus Cowboys, that's what today's show is. I'm not good at intros. We're going to preview the Cowboys game. We're going to talk about the Cowboys defense, offense, special teams, players to exploit, matchups, tendencies, all that stuff. Previews, bets, predictions, all those things. But for me, this game is more important than it should be. It just is. Again, the jersey that is over my left shoulder or right shoulder. I don't know what it is on your screen. This is how I became a fan. My origin story into the love of football. I love football. I grew up in Texas. Grew up in Dallas. Dallas-Fort Worth. And so, like, that's what we did. We played football, right? That's what Maryland does. Crab cakes and football. And, like, that's what Texas does. Uneducated in football. It's just what it is. I was a teacher there for a long time. That's why I was making that joke. But football was my identity for so long. As a kid, it's just what we did. We loved our cards from such a young age, and we would walk and we'd meet up and we would trade cards, football cards, whatever else, from jerseys to starter jackets to I started playing padded football whenever I was in third grade. And I was mad because I didn't start earlier. Like, that was just the culture. Then I became a coach in Texas. Like, this is just who I have been. And I understand that sports have a trivial aspect to it. I understand that. I'm not disagreeing with that. However, they have a community aspect as well. And whether positive or negative, and they can be both. Let's just look at Eagles fans. My negativity with the way my home life was as a very young age, 9 years old, had a stepdad, couldn't stand, pushed me into the arms of the faithful, the 49ers. I didn't even know they were called the faithful. This jersey, whenever I begged my stepdad to buy it for me, diehard Cowboys fan, just to piss him off in spite. That's who I am. That's who I continue to be. I still am a spiteful, Grinch, grinning, narcissist, whatever. I'm all those things. But it can lead to positivity. And with the Cowboys being the quote-unquote America's team and, you know, obviously the revenue, their fan base, I will say this, their fans are pretty cool most of the time. They travel, even though Jerry will never give them another Super Bowl because he doesn't care about that. He just cares about money. The differences between us, they're not like us. They're not like us. They're played for selling jerseys, which is ironic with me having a jersey over my shoulder. They're not trying to win things. They're just not. They're not trying to put the product out there on the field. The 49ers are. They're just missing in other ways. They've gotten so close, so close, so close, so close. They haven't been over the edge. But the way that you start your story, I think, matters. And for some, you know, I talked to some of the old hats, you know, at these games and these events that we throw. And it's awesome because I just ask a lot of questions because it's my time to hear from them. Most of you guys listen to me, and I'm so thankful. But whenever I meet you in person, I want to know what you think about things. That's important to me. Whenever I talk to these old hats and they talk about how much they hate, you know, the Rams or they hate some of these other teams that I just don't hate near as much as they do because their origin story is different. They've been through more with other teams than I have. I grew up in Dallas. And so from nine, whenever I became a Niners fan, all the way through, yeah, most of my best friends are still in Dallas. Most of my coworkers that I coached with and whatever else still in Dallas. My family's still in Dallas. And my in-laws are in town from Dallas right now as we speak. This game carries with it more. A lot more. And so with this week, and it's like, all right, we're in last place. The Rams won. They beat the Vikings, whatever. We're in last place of our division. I don't care. I don't care right now. I care about one thing, and that is embarrassing the one star on their helmet, Dallas Cowboys. That's it. That's all I care about. And so the fundamental principle sometimes of these sports, matchups, football, whatever, I don't care, is us versus them, the enemy. And we get to literally get together and just see who is better. Now, the 49ers have been worse than the majority of opponents they face. That's what a losing record means. Cowboys have not been much better. But this damn game, and it is a game, and it is trivial, but God, it means everything. I don't know if you ever saw like Kingdom of Heaven, Orlando Bloom. Awesome. And like at the end of the movie, and they're having like this showdown. They're fighting over Jerusalem. And he's like, what does Jerusalem mean? And Salah Hadin says, nothing. And turns around and walks after he won. And then he turns around. Everything. That's what this means. Now, is this bigger than a Super Bowl? And, you know, would I trade this win in for the playoffs and all that stuff? I don't know. And to be honest with you, my answer would probably piss a lot of people off. I don't know if you feel that way. But the 49ers versus Cowboys, it's got extra. It's got more than it should. And, you know, we've got this. I've got, I don't know how many pages. I've got 11 pages of notes. Shout out to my man, Josh, executive producer of today's show. And I don't know how many of these notes I'm going to get through. But I can tell you this. This game means it all. And in a season where you are in last place and you're 3-4 and you have a losing record and things haven't gone your way and you've given up divisional games you should have won. You've given up games to the Chiefs, which I think a lot of people, their arch nemesis, the younger fans are the Chiefs. And that's okay. This game means it all. It means it all. Is it a must win? Sure as hell is for me. Is it a must-win for the 49ers players and coaches? Probably not. But for John Chapman, and I think for a select few of you guys out there, this is it. This is it. You lose this game, and you go 3-5. You've been 3-5 before. I understand that. You can still claw out. I don't care. You beat this damn team. It's the basic, most like primitive, us versus them, damn it. Ah. Anyway, That wasn't even in my notes, damn it. Appreciate everybody showed up. Love all the hashtag CCs. You guys are the absolute best. We're already way behind on schedule and the comments, but I don't care. This show, this week, this game, everything. That's what it means. This is why we're fans. And yeah, we might not be the best team in the NFL. We're probably not going to win a Super Bowl this year. That's just what it is. This game makes it all okay. For me. For me. It just does. Dave, what's up, man? He's at work listening live. Already liked, though. Be back later. Appreciate you, man. Just stoic. Appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. Yeah, Mosquito. He says, 92, 93. That's whenever he became a fan. Sodia, how annoying is it to watch other teams successfully run screens and checkdowns? Yeah, that's a major issue. Sean says, dad was a fan, started watching, been a fan ever since. Love it. The family aspect, that's the natural progression of fandom. You pass it on to your younglings. Mine's the opposite. I turned and ran the other way. It's just what it is. Celestial, I became a fan the very moment that's on your hat. I'm wearing my theinfiltratorshop.com, the catch hat. I freaking love this hat. I wore it all week. I slept in it. It's what it is. Clark caught it. And look at this. Celestial says, my name is Clark. How cool is that? Dude, I said sports are trivial. I was wrong. Bobo, appreciate you, man. Became faithful because Jesse Sapolo is from our poor neighborhood in Hawaii. He would come to our school every year, speak every time with a Super Bowl ring. How cool is that, Bobo? Man, shout out to the faithful in Hawaii. They show up all the time, and they're always the nicest people in the world. Steven, what's up, man? Appreciate you guys. Aaron, let's get it done, baby. Yeah, growing up in Hawaii. Gosh, man. Bobo, I hope we get to meet and share a drink and some food and talk. I appreciate you always showing up. Lee, just a win. Reset after the bye. Team has so much to clean up, but a win is what you need. A win is what you need. Oh, we got a Halo reference in the chat. I'm highlighting that one. In my favorite game, Halo, it's always red versus blue. 49ers versus Cowboys. There we go. Team red, baby. I love freaking everything Halo, even the red versus blue series. That was always great. All right. We're catching up right here. Junior. Still made about 94 and 96. Still mad about 94 and 96. There we go. I think we got a Cowboys fan in the chat. I like it. Bobo, if we win, Jerry Jones might drop down then and there. He don't care. As long as he's making money, that's all he cares about. So, Roger, he says, John, how do we fix special teams? Look, I loaded all the special teams footage for the past 3 years. This is not a new thing. And here, I'll put this picture up. This is one of the punt coverages. So this play came out as a positive, okay? And if you can't see, I'm going to try to explain the picture, the screenshot above. We were supposed to punt left. Mitch Wisnowski punts right. You have 9 out of 11 players on punt coverage are to the far left of the punt returner who fair caught the ball on the right hash. You had one player head up with the punt returner and one player on the outside. The other 9, all on the same side, the wrong side. The punt was bad, but they fair caught this one inside the 10. Didn't cost us any yards, but we got lucky because Isaac Yadam was so on point, he forced this fair catch. If he didn't fair catch it, would have had a gigantic return. However, later in the game, the second screenshot I'm going to send you, supposed to punt far left too again. Does so, gets it to the left of the left side hash, but not very much. It's in between the numbers and the hash. They filled this punt, and 8 players are still on the left side of the returner. Only 2 players are on the right side. DFF and Tato Bethard, they both fall down. Roddy Bell falls down. Huge return. You're coaching it, or you're letting it happen. And you could say, okay, well, the punt should have been further left. But you did it once and it didn't work. And then you went back and you did it again. And, I could go back and show, I forget which game it was. It was the other time we gave up a huge punt return or like 2 or 3 huge punt returns. We've been doing this all freaking season. Brian Snyder is a double agent. I don't believe that. I just think he's a really bad coach and doesn't know what he's doing. And Shanahan empowers that. And so whenever you constantly are putting that on tape, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. So special teams, how do you fix it? Yeah, you got to get a new coordinator in there. You have to. You got to fire him. During the bye week, change has to happen. Shanahan's never done that. But golly, the fact that he's starting to answer questions about how bad it is, it started off with, yeah, we still got a lot of special teams. We still got a lot, you know, we got a lot of confidence in Snyder. Yeah, we got a lot of that. Two, this is what he said this week.
It's similar to what everyone's been saying, similar to the numbers. We've been struggling with it. We got to, especially in the punt return and, in the punt and the kickoff, you know, guys have gotten two bigger returns on us. I know we gave up some blocks early in the year, which you got to get that corrected with certain techniques and everything, but we got to get a lot better at it. I mean, it's pretty obvious to everybody. It's obvious to us. It's been that way for a few weeks, and I can't give you guys one narrative on it because there's not one narrative. It's about working with everyone, holding people accountable, and coaching them up the best we can to get them better.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in over 30 states, including California, Florida, Georgia, and Texas? You sign up today and you get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. All you do is pick two players, whether they're going to do more or less. It's easy. You think Justin Jefferson's going to get more than 83.5 yards this week? Let's say you just want to focus on 49ers. Brock Purdy, more or less 229.5 passing yards. Brandon Ayuk, he struggled, 64.5 receiving yards. If you think they're going to hit that, you just pick two. If you're right, you get paid. That simple. And so whatever it is you want, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, that's promo code 49ers. So go check out Prize Picks. Run your game. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order. It's bad. It is bad. Oh, look at this. We got some more origin stories. I love it. Mike, appreciate you, Mike. grew up near Windy Will on the peninsula that Rice likes to run up, the old trail. And he'd run on track nearby sometimes too. Jerry Rice was cool as hell. That's freaking awesome. Vince, liked the NFL all my life, but grew up in LA with no team. LA doesn't have a team. Still don't. Even though there's two there, people haven't bought in. Became a 49ers fan with my college dorm mates in NorCal. Took me to a game at Candlestick. Been a faithful ever since 2009 Singletary year. Vince, that is awesome. Jim, oh, we got a fellow Texan in here. Grew up in Texas in the 80s and 90s. Entire family rooted for the Cowboys. Niners were the rivals. Decided to root for the Niners instead. A man behind enemy lines. Gosh, that is awesome. Man, I love this. Lee, yeah, Roddy Bell is not just an offensive liability. He is not. He is terrible on special teams. He is terrible on offense. He is terrible. He is terrible. He is terrible. And same thing with DFF. Same thing. Bad on punt, bad on kickoff, bad on kickoff return, bad on punt return, bad, like he's just bad on all of them. And we just keep getting those guys out there. Tatum Bethune, he kind of falls in. Tatum Bethune's going to be a good linebacker, but Tatum Bethune's not a good linebacker now because he can't play in space. He's a great run defender. Small gaps, awesome. So you put Tatum Bethune on every single special teams, he's not a good player in space. He's awful, in fact. And he's awful on kickoff. And he's awful on kickoff return. He's awful on punt. He's awful on punt return. Like, it's not like, not rocket science. It's not. So, yeah. Honestly, John, he might be a double agent. Jokes aside, what could be another reason? It's just coaching. You know, we were able to attend a lot of the training camp, and you watched it. No reps. You coach through reps on the field. All he did during all the special teams period was talk the whole time. The whole time. And I put this out there, and I even clocked it. And I was like, man, we got 3 reps in 20 minutes on kickoff. And everybody in my thing was like, oh, it's something new. You've got to teach, and it takes time, and everybody's like this. Well, let's fast forward 8 weeks into the NFL season. Is everybody else like this? They are not. Practice is for practice. You talk in meetings. Brian Snyder doesn't understand this very simple concept. Every time you went special teams, it was everybody standing around and Brian Snyder being the only person talking. It was absolutely, like, I'm not joking whenever I say this. The most I have ever been chewed out, probably in my life, even worse than my wife, was my first year coaching down in Duncanville, Texas. And I was coaching through stuff on the field. And the head coach at the time told me, like, hey, man, we're out here. We're trying to get reps. So faster phrases, coach with words. Let's get reps. Next day, I didn't take it. John Chapman slow, S-L-O-W. And same thing. And I got freaking ripped a new one in front of the players, which I didn't like. But I learned pretty damn quick. And he was correct to do so. Practice is for reps. You've got to rep it. And Shanahan can sit here and talk about, oh, well, we've had so much change. Here, I'll play the clip so that we could, you know, provide context to this.
Continuing to work with all these guys. You know, we've had to move a lot of guys around from our, you know, our starting gunners at the beginning of the year are now starting on defense. You know, we've had to change our PP, our wings. You know, I think our right guard, I think we've changed about 4 times. So there's a bunch of movement on those guys. So you just keep developing them. You keep working with the individual drills. You can't do all stuff full speed, especially tackling and things like that. But, I mean, we're emphasizing everything and trying to get our group better.
And so you talk about, like, okay, not only are players not getting reps throughout training camp, but now you're swapping players in and out because, you know, you've had guys step up and earn starting roles. He's talking about D. Winters. He's talking about Renardo Greed. He's talking about Malik Mustafa. Those are the guys he's talking about. But guess what? Those guys aren't the concern. Renardo Greed is. Renardo Greed's a terrible cornerback on punt return. He's not good at all. Ruined two punt returns that we could have had a huge game. But that's okay. Should be Isaac Yiadom out there. He's way better. Anyway, that's a whole nother thing. But now you're not getting reps for the guys that have been out there. Now you're replacing a Band-Aid, and they're not getting the reps either. And they're all making the same mistakes. At least the guys, the inside blocking. It's coaching, man. It's so simple. Ah, so simple. Anyway. All right. Oh, we got another. I love this. B. Lauren, appreciate you. Grew up in Louisville, Kentucky, watching Niners on TV every day. Family were Notre Dame fans watching Joe. I just like the team and Jerry Rice. Ah, it's freaking awesome. It's so awesome. I love it. Bobo, how do you feel about Robert Saleh joining the Packers so quickly? I think it makes perfect sense. Gets coached with his best friend. I've been saying since the start, Robert Saleh wasn't coming back here. That's a backwards move. Yeah, it's a backwards move to be a consultant anywhere in the NFL when you're a head coach. But going back to the place you left, very rare that people do that. You just don't see it very often. And like even with Spagnuolo, right? Spagnuolo was under Andy Reid as a DC in Philadelphia, became a head coach for the Rams, then went back to Andy Reid, but with the Chiefs. We almost had Vic Fangio do it, but like going back is a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. So I'm not shocked. And I think eventually Robert Saleh will be a head coach at the college level. I think that's where he should be. I don't know. I think that's what it should be. Aldo, I'm glad you're still just as mad as me, John. I am pissed. I got to go through all these tape breakdowns and put them back up. And it's bad. It is bad. Now, let's talk Cowboys. Man, with 22 minutes of the show, we're just now getting to our first line of notes. I freaking love this job. I love you guys. Thank you, guys. Cowboys are 3-3. They're third in the NFC East. Much better conference than ours, for sure. Dak is Dak. He's playing well, but so many turnovers. That's just what he is. They can't run the ball, and they can't stop the run. The two most core principles in today's NFL, run the ball effectively, stop the run effectively. They can't do either. I would argue the 49ers can, right? It's like, this is the problem. This is what I struggle with on these shows. I have to do predictions and bets. The 49ers can run the ball very well. In fact, we're a top 10 run efficiency team across every single metric, whatever it is you want to look at. But we don't run the ball in crucial situations. We always have been in a run. That's a shitty thing. Defensively, we're decent at stopping the run, but not in man coverage against a scrambling quarterback. We're not a man coverage team. However, every single third down, Nick Sorensen, boom, hit the button. Third down, man coverage. Everybody turn your back to the quarterback. What were the two biggest plays in the Chiefs game? Yeah, as quarterback scrambling the ball. How did you not know that? Stay in zone. It's what we talked about in this preview show right before the Chiefs. How do I know that, but you don't know that, right? You're smarter than me. That's a low bar. But this is your job. You're an NFL defensive coordinator. And whenever you get Joe Schmo here saying, run zone on third downs so that Mahomes doesn't have to run when the defenders have their back to him in the secondary, yet you continually do so, makes you question things. I shouldn't be smarter than you. That I shouldn't be. Nick Sorensen, I hate to say it, I'm smarter than he is at watching tape and understanding what teams want to do. That 100% positive. Am I better than Nick Sorensen? I am not. Not even close. Should I be an NFL coach? No. I do not have the credentials, whatever else. But whenever I can watch tape and say, this is how I would attack us, I hope we don't do this, and then we constantly do that all game on third down, and you never learn your lesson, even in the fourth quarter. That's trouble. And so whenever I'm watching, 49ers defense or special teams, then it's just like, man, I shouldn't be smarter than you. I'm not smart. You have a much better resume and resources and whatever else. It's just me and Josh over here cranking out tape. That's what we're doing. Obviously, we got, the whole 49ers rush team, but this episode is me and Josh. Come on, man. Come on. Anyway. Cowboys are coming off a bye. That happens 4 out of 6 times. 6 consecutive weeks. In 6 weeks, you play 4 teams coming off a bye, which is a joke. The NFL is a joke whenever it comes to rests and schedules. No doubt about it. Just watch last night. God, that was bad. Now, the Cowboys have some good players. CeeDee Lamb's incredible. There's no doubt. Tyler Smith, their left tackle. Their number one running back is Rico Dowdle, who's actually been decent. He's not terrible, but they don't stick with it. Yeah, defensively, there's nobody. It's a bad defense. Micah Parsons and, Lawrence, I don't think they're going to play. There's a chance Micah Parsons play. And part of the problem that sucks that, I'm doing this show on Friday instead of Saturday, but I'm going to the Cow game, my first Cow game tomorrow. I got in-laws in town. I've got friends in town for the Cowboys game, so I'm bouncing around like crazy. So I wanted to bump this up. Usually I like doing it on Saturdays because you get the definitive you know, injury report. We don't have that. And so, you know, we look at, I'm already out of order. Let's go down to the injuries. The Cowboys, these are people who did not practice on Thursday. We're recording this Friday, the 25th. Cowboys players, Micah Parsons did not practice. Daron Bland did not practice. Brandon Aubrey, their amazing kicker, best kicker in the NFL, who they signed as a freaking undrafted free agent. Take that for what you will. He's in, what's it called? Jury duty. I expect him to play, though. John Stevens, wide receiver, didn't practice. Nick Virgil, I don't know how to pronounce it, inside linebacker, didn't practice. I assume those guys aren't going to play. Limited players, wide receiver Ryan Flourney and Eric Kendricks, their starting backer, which I do expect Kendricks to play. Now, for the 49ers, we got a lot of guys out too. Kevin Givens did not practice. We promoted, not elevated, Evan Anderson. He's going to take that job. Evan Anderson's good. Will he continue to play well? We've only seen him play two games. I like Kevin Givens. And, you know, after going through the tape, Jordan Elliott, awful. God, he was so bad. But he had the fourth down stop on the fake punt. So, like, Jordan Elliott was so bad all game, but he had that one great, great play. And I think that's what it's going to be with Jordan Elliott, 92. He should not be starting. Kevin Givens should be the starter. Evan Anderson, I don't know, might take – I'm excited about Evan Anderson. I'll just say that. Juwan Jennings has not practiced, which is weird because Shedd had said he was a game-time decision last week. Yeah, my ass. Believe Shedd had on a lot of things. Never injury reports. Never, ever injury reports. Jake Moody, he's not going to play. Trent Williams got a rest day. Bosa was limited with an elbow. You see it on tape, and I broke it down on the 49ersrush.com. You see him, like, start grabbing it, but he played through it. He didn't even go out of the game. Like, Bosa's, dude, like, watch this. I want to throw this up there real quick. You know, one of my favorite things to do is to grab a snapshot every week of Bosa getting triple teamed. Check out this play. And again, for those that listen or whatever, this is in the run play. This is a run play in the fourth quarter. And you've got one, two, three, four players against one-on-one matchups. And Bosa's getting triple teamed by the right tackle, tackle, and center. Creed Humphrey, the guard, and the tackle are all blocking Nick Bosa. You've got three linebackers with nobody on them. Nobody's on D. Winters. Nobody's on Warner. Nobody's on Campbell. And it's just like Nick Bosa just continues to be the focal point for every single opposing offense. Somebody got to step up and win a one-on-one. And it just doesn't happen very consistently. It just does not happen very consistently. So frustrating. Chris Conley limited. Kittle limited. Mason limited. Odom limited, Debo limited. I do expect the majority of those guys to play. I do. Now, is that what's going to happen? Ah, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like. Yeah, we need another defensive end. Sam O is taking more and more snaps away from Leonard Floyd every single week and is getting better. Sam O is better than Leonard Floyd. I will already say that. At this point in their career, 91 is way better than 56. The films, like, he just doesn't have negative plays, Sam O. He doesn't. Leonard Floyd, that dude's on the ground 6-7 times every single game. He gets pancaked on the regular. He's still good, but nothing like what you're paying. He's not $10 million good. His salary, we paid really big for him. We paid really big for Hargrave. We paid really big for Campbell. None of those have paid dividends at all. Frustrating. I was hoping. Now, let's talk through the Cowboys' kind of season. They come out, beat Cleveland real bad, 33-17. Then they get stomped by the Saints, the David Carr-led Saints, 44-19. Then they compete really well against the Ravens, but lose 28-25. They barely beat the Giants. They barely beat the Steelers. That's probably their best win of the season. And then they just got freaking stomped by the Detroit Lions. 47-9. Really, really, really bad. Now, here's Kyle Shanahan just talking about the Cowboys and how we're kind of in similar situations.
Yeah, they're coming off a big loss, you know, right after their bye week, and they're in a situation similar to ours. I mean, they want to win and need to win as bad as us, so I see it a very similar situation.
And so, like, okay, let's look at PFF. Okay, just the unit rankings from a snap by snap basis, the Cowboys. Offense, they're 28th out of 32. They're not good. They're not good. Defense, they're 31st out of 32. Their offense sucks. Their defense is worse. Special teams, they're 7th. And from a DVOA, they're 1st. They have one of the best special teams coach at Bones Fossil. He's awesome. Overall, they're 28th. That's all PFF, right? 49ers. Offense, we're 2nd. And I know everybody hates on Shanahan, and I get it. Rightfully so. Offense ain't the problem, guys. We're 3rd in total yards. We're 8th in points scored. We suck on 3rd downs. Actually, we're 8th. We suck at the red zone. That's basically the only issue. We need to run the ball more. We need to stop turning the ball over, and you need to run the ball in the red zone. You do those things, you have a top 5 offense across the board. That's what we put up. Yeah, we can't score points in certain games. I know. But the metrics say offense ain't the issue. Defense, 10th. That's what PFF says. I think that's insane. That's our highest metric for anything across the board. 27th on 3rd down. Gosh, we suck at defense. But 10th, we're still better than them. Special teams, 19th. That's crazy to me. I don't know how we're not dead last. DVOA, we're 31st. But it gives you kind of a snap by snap evaluation of how these units in whole. Like, there is not anywhere that the Cowboys are better than the 49ers besides special teams. Shocker, every single team except for the Tennessee Titans is better than us at special teams. That's what it is. And Bobo, yeah, this is a concern. But the game versus Kansas City, the offense was definitely the problem. As a whole, the offense was a problem. 3 interceptions, 2 underthrown go routes where you're toasted. Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, there are a lot of issues. Now, let's go through the Cowboys coaching staff, and this is a funny one to me. I think Mike McCarthy is the worst head coach in the NFL. I think Jerry Jones is the worst owner in the NFL from a football standpoint. I understand Jerry Jones, his goal is not to win football games, it's to make money. He's great at that. And his fans will stick loyal to Skeletor no matter what, even though they know and he knows they're not putting a winning product out there on the field. They stick with it. They stick with it. Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I get it. I totally understand that. He started at Fort Hays State as a GA, then went to the Pittsburgh Panthers. Then he got his first NFL job under Marty Schottenheimer back in 1993 with the Kansas City Chiefs. Green Bay coach. He was the New Orleans coordinator. He coached with the 49ers, one of our worst years, 2005. We had he was our offensive coordinator and was the 3rd worst offense in the league that year. 3rd worst point scored, 3rd worst yards, terrible, terrible, terrible. And he goes from that awful job to getting the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Crazy, man. He's been with the Cowboys since 2020. He won one playoff win. He got one wild card win. And yeah, he went 12-5 3 times in a row. I get it. Bad head coach. Like, he adds nothing to what it is you want to do. Their offensive coordinator, Brian Schottenheimer. Team Nepo, baby. Every single game, baby. He won a national championship back in 1996 with the Florida Gators. He was the backup quarterback when Steve Spurrier was coaching there. Went straight to the NFL. That's what happens whenever you are the son of a Schottenheimer. When you're a Schottenheimer, that's what happens, just like a Shanahan. First job with the St. Louis Rams, and then worked with his dad in Kansas City under his dad, Mike M. Bounced around a lot, and he hasn't been good. Like, he's never put together positive. How do I say this? He doesn't really call the plays and just kind of like bounces around a lot. He's been with a lot of teams. The Colts, he's been with Seattle, he's been with Jacksonville, he's been with Dallas, been with the Rams, been with the Jets, been with the Chargers, been with Washington, Chiefs. He's been all over the place. He's a connection guy. Defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. Good Lord. He won a Super Bowl back. He was on the Cowboys team last time they won a Super Bowl. Been there for a while, man. And he's a good coach. Started off in Missouri in 79. He's an old hat, but he's a Jerry guy. And this is his first year back as the DC. it's not good. It's not good. Now, historically, you look at the 49ers and the Cowboys, they've only played 40 times. That's it. It's weird because they're not in our division. They've never been in the same division. But this is a rivalry, and it goes back to the 90s. And shoot, we have played them four times in 4 years. This will be the fourth time in 4 years. We're 3-0 against them. We've won the last three, including two of those were playoff matchups. Now, another reason why I think this game's so important, the 49ers are up 20 wins, Dallas Cowboy 19 wins, and one tie. You lose this, and you're all knotted up in the series. That's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Not acceptable. Now, the last time we played them was October 8th. Last year, week five, we beat them 42-10. And it was that moment where everybody was like, okay, 49ers are it. They're the cream of the crop. They're the best of the NFL. And they maintained that for a long time until you played the Ravens. And then you got to the playoffs and whatever. But, man, you destroyed them 42-10. Brock Purdy got pulled in before the fourth quarter even started. That dude, 4 touchdowns on 24 pass attempts. Gosh, he was awesome. Dak Prescott threw 3 picks. CMC didn't even have the best day ever. CMC had 19 carries, 51 yards, and a fumble. And a fumble. Like, we destroyed it. Jordan Mason, 10 carries, 69 yards, and a touchdown. Deebo, 5 carries, 30 yards. TDP had 6 carries for 21 yards. Ah, go get him, man. Fred Warner went all out, had a sack and an interception. Greenlaw had a sack. Bosa had a sack. Givens had a sack. Armstead had a sack. I mean, we were just killing them. We were killing them. We were killing them, man. Gosh, I hope we could do that again. Now, let's dive into the metrics for the Cowboys defense. But before we do, best way to support the show right here. I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going. But the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101? You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So, all right, let's talk defensive ranks for the Cowboys, and it's rough, okay? RUFF is bad. 31st in points allowed, 24th in total yards allowed. Now, here's the thing that's crazy is they forced 5 turnovers. That's 26th. They're averaging less than 1 turnover a game. That's not good. Now, you say the same thing about the Chiefs before they played us. They forced 3 picks. So take that for what you will. Fumbles, they've only got 1 fumble, 30th. 20th in first downs allowed, 23rd in pass touchdowns. It's all out of 32 teams. 16, 17's average. They're below average in everything. Everything. 27th in rush yards allowed, bottom five. 31st in rush touchdowns allowed. We suck in the red zone. The 49ers got to run the ball in the red zone. Doesn't matter if they stop you once. You can't throw interceptions in the red zone, guys. You can't do that. I love Brock Purdy, and I hope he's our quarterback forever. I love that dude. He's killing us in the red zone. A lot of that is Brock Purdy. Run the ball more than once in the red zone, and you can't just do first down runs. Kyle, that made me mad. Run the ball in the red zone. They've given up 10 rushing touchdowns in the red zone, the Cowboys have. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Now, third downs is the only thing that they are above average. They're 10th in third down conversions, 28th in fourth down, and 31st in the red zone. Score some damn touchdowns. Score some damn touchdowns. Strengths, Micah Parsons and Daron Bland are probably their two best players. Probably not going to play. They have a chance to. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's definitely in there. He's not playing for sure. And then maybe Eric Kendricks, who the 49ers signed first, and then Cowboys offered him, so he switched there, and then we got Devondre Campbell. Man, could you imagine if we had Eric Kendricks instead of Devondre Campbell? Good Lord. It might be the difference between two wins, to be honest with you. Players to exploit, there's a lot of them. It's a terrible defense. They spent a first-round pick on Mazi Smith out of Michigan. He broke the record in the NFL. This is next-gen stats. For most snaps ever by a defensive lineman without registering a pressure. 187 snaps and counting without registering a pressure on the quarterback. That's a first-round pick. It's funny. Everybody always wants to criticize the 49ers, and rightfully so, for having missed picks. Every team does. But then you got guys out here like Mazi Smith. Now watch him have a career day against Jake Brendel. I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest with you. DeMarcus Overshown out of Texas. We'll make fun of Michigan. We'll make fun of Texas, too. He's awesome, but so many missed tackles. Diggs, you know, Trayvon Diggs, he's a pick monster, but missed tackles and gambles wrong, miscommunications all the time. They're just mistake machines. It's a bad defense. It's a bad scheme. Now, from a schematic standpoint, what do? They do cover three, zone. We do that as well. And cover one man. The difference is they're good man team. We're a bad man team. Their corners are designed as man cover corners. They always have been. They run almost every type of coverage outside of those two. So they do cover three 35% of the time. They do cover one man 26% of the time. And they throw in every other coverage known to man. Like, they don't have any identity or go-to that's like, oh, this is who we are. They're a gambling team that hasn't gambled well. They don't blitz often either. Detroit, they blitzed 11 times their most recent game. Against the Steelers, they blitzed 8. Against the Giants, they blitzed 11. I didn't go back and pull the last time we played them, because it was a different DC. That was Dan Quinn. This is Zimmer. So the old tape kind of, they stuck with pretty much the same scheme. It's still an even front, but it doesn't look good. They're just not good. They're not good. The defense is terrible. You should be able to have your way with them if Shanahan sticks to the run game, play action screens, simple check downs. You don't have to take the top off. You'll have your opportunities, but gosh, man, do not just hold the ball forever and give this team hope. Please, please don't do that. Whew, deep breath. See, we're good. We're good. Now, hopefully, you know, we've got the Cowboys this week. Then we have a bye week. Thank God. You need that big time trade deadline. We'll be covering that all week. And then you've got the Bucs game, which we're going to be at for the 49ers Rush Road Trip with the legend Frank Gore. If you haven't been to one of our road trips yet, you got to come check it out. Here's kind of what they look like. All right, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. And, you know, Tampa was a difficult one because we were going to have it at the beach. Hurricane knocked that one out. Then we're going to have it at this other pool party place. Second hurricane knocked that one out. But we found an awesome location, and I'm not complaining. That's not what that is. I understand what Tampa has gone through. And a lot of, you know, once we finish, we always donate to some local charity of something. We're going to be given some of our, you know, proceeds if we do make proceeds. It's not always the case. We'll be donating to the local community in hurricane relief for sure. But come out with us, the Brick House Tavern. Frank Gore is going to be there signing, taking pictures. It's going to be a great time. Saturday, November 9th, 2 to 8 p.m. It's going to be an absolute blast. Then we have our all-you-can-eat, all-you-can-drink, tailgate, liquor, you name it. Gosh, it's going to be awesome. We rented out an entire freaking block for this. It's going to be great. One block east of the stadium. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets. We do expect those to sell out. There's limited space at both venues, so it's kind of what it is. And for our tailgates, we never oversell because I want to make sure everybody gets everything that they want. Underselling is important to me. I care about the experience more than anything. And if money's an issue, don't let that stop you from partying with the faithful. Just reach out to me. 49ersRushPodcast@gmail.com. We'll make something work. We'll put you to work. We'll make you part of the team. Don't ever let money be a reason not to come party with the faithful. Ever, ever, ever. That's not who we are. We're here to build the community. And we're here out of hate for the Dallas Cowboys. That's why we're here. Now, let's talk about the Cowboys offense. It's better than the Cowboys defense should be when you have the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. You have the second highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. But it's still bad. Points, 20th out of 32 in points scored. 12th in total yards. They'll move the football, but whenever you can't run the ball, or you won't run the ball in the red zone, bad things happen. 11th in turnovers, despite only playing six games. They played one less game than everybody else, but they still ranked 30th. 23rd in fumbles lost, 28th in interceptions. Dak will always turn the ball over. It's just who he is. 14th in first down, second in passing yards. This is a pass-heavy team. They throw the ball like crazy. 14th in passing touchdowns, 30th in rush attempts. There are over 100 plays passing over running through six games. It's pass heavy, man. 32nd in rush yards, dead last in the NFL. 32nd in rush touchdowns, dead last in the NFL. 32nd in rush yards per attempt, dead last in the NFL. They're not good. Can you stop them? Chiefs aren't good at it either. They ran it down your throat in the fourth quarter. Just because the team's bad at something doesn't mean they're going to continue to be bad. You have to impose them to keep them bad. We haven't seen the Niners do that yet. Not this season. Not with this defense. Not with this defensive coordinator. We haven't seen it. Maybe that changes. Now, they're 10th on third downs. They will get third down conversions, but they will not get touchdowns. They're 27th on fourth downs, and they're 31st in the red zone. They're worse in the red zone than we are. How is that possible? Players to watch out for. CeeDee Lamb. That's it. Dak's good, but he just gives so many opportunities, especially at prime time. That's not usually where Dak shows up. He's kind of the new Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins solved his primetime issues. Different. Zach Martin, who's a Hall of Famer, the right guard, his play has just plummeted. He's currently the 26th ranked guard. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's great, great. Maybe not first ballot. No Super Bowls. But, man, he's great. Him and Trent are kind of birds of a feather at their position. They were been the best at their position for a decade plus. Zach Martin, father time got to him before it did Trent. Trent's still playing at an all-pro level. Zach Martin's not even playing at a Pro Bowl level. He'll probably win the Pro Bowl just because now it's, you know, popularity. But, I like this. Ed, I freaking love it when Dallas is bad. Let's go. And you can kind of bury him. Ed, again, Adam Schefter said number 11 probably won't suit up. That's where we are right now. Probably, but who knows? Who knows? Weaknesses, offensive line's bad, rookies everywhere, tight ends good, but doesn't block well, Jake Ferguson, wide receivers are trash outside of CeeDee Lamb, but we've got beat by teams with the worst wide receivers. We got beat by the Rams without their top two guys. We got beat by the Cardinals, and they just had one wide receiver. We got beat by the Vikings when the whole second half they didn't have their top two wide receivers. We got beat by the Chiefs who didn't have their top two wide receivers. So, like, I'm just like, man, why can't we? The 49ers offense freaking just goes stale when we don't have our top two guys out there. Every other team against us, no issues. Wish the 49ers offense could play the 49ers defense. That's sad to say. It's never been that way since Shanahan's been here. It's that way now. Our defensive coordinator's not good. Our defense isn't good. Four games, all four games that we have lost, all the opposing wide receivers have been out. All of them. Now, maybe Aristotelian logic says Dallas Cowboys have their wide receivers. Brandon Cooks ain't going to play, so their number two's out. So we should win. If CeeDee Lamb was out, that means we would lose, right? I know it's not really how logic works. I'm with you 100%, Ed. It's Sorensen. I'm with you. We have bad players on defense. Yes. But gosh, man, we put them in the worst spot. Junior, is Yottam playing? I sure hope not. You know what's crazy? People don't understand. Yottam's good. Yotam's good. I think he's better than Charvarius Ward this year. And even on special teams, Yotam was incredible. And you know what happened on one of those punt returns? Yotam was the gunner or in the cornerback protector or whatever. He was awesome. Ronnie Bell falls down and we give up that huge return, right? But Yotam was on the other side. The next punt, we benched Yotam and Ronnie Bell still was out there. Ronnie Bell falls down, gives up a huge play to his side. Yotam played it perfectly, but it went away from him. We benched Yotam and kept Ronnie Bell out. Like, I just don't understand what Ronnie Bell has not only on Shanahan, but Brian Schneider. I have no idea. It's weird. But everybody hates Yotam. And to drive my point home, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm so petty. And, like, it's not like I love Yotam, but, like, his mistakes are 1,000. Isaac Yotam is the 6th highest rated defender we have throughout the year. The 6th highest rated. He is rated ahead of every single corner on our team. For the season. For the season. Now we go to special teams. Let's see where he is on here. He's the 5th highest rated player we have. Like, I get it. A lot of people don't like 22. I understand. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Thank you, Alejandro. And again, a lot of it's just because I watched tape. And so I see it. I don't know. People hate Yotam, but that's okay. Now, the tendencies of the Dallas offense, super pass heavy. Good Lord. They pass like crazy. No explosive plays. Now, we said the same thing about the Chiefs. The Chiefs were dead last in explosive plays till they played us. Now they're tied for third worst. They jumped up because obviously our defense is bad. The Cowboys are 4th worst. So they're a bottom 5 explosive team. Only 6.4% explosive play rate. That's terrible. But when bad teams play us, they get better. Our defense blows. Now, play action 16% of the time. That's where Dak Prescott's at his best. Screen passes, they throw 7% screen passes. Deep passes, we're at 12%. I wonder, I want to see. What are our rates on this for Brock Purdy? 5% screens. Yeah, I was like, man, I bet we throw fewer screens because 9% are they're at 7%. That's low. Kind of 10 to 11% screens is NFL average. We're at 5%. I think we're the lowest screen team in the entire NFL, which is crazy when you have guys like Debo and Jacob Cowing, now Ricky Pearsall, Kittle, Jawan Jennings. Like, that's crazy to me. We should run so many more screens. 12% deep passes, that's about NFL average. Their offense is bad. Their offense is bad. Now, let's do my favorite matchups of this game. Oh, I love this. This is my favorite part of the show. When the 49ers are on defense, the 49ers' best matchup is Fred Warner versus their running backs. That is just like so one side. Rico Dowdle, you got pre-Jenny Craig, Ezekiel Elliott. I got a fat joke in here. I hope that's okay. That was probably not nice. I should be on Jenny Craig. I can make fun of him. I don't think that's how it works. Apologize if I offended anybody. Jenny Craig's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. But I should not. That's, I should have said that. Anyway, Ezekiel Elliott's old and fat. I'm. Let's double down. He's terrible. their best matchup, and this one was difficult. It has to do with CeeDee Lamb no matter what. Every single team that has played us this season has gotten their best wide receiver manned up against our safeties and linebackers. I mean, the opening third down, we had Fred Warner against Mecole Hardman, who runs a 4-2 in man coverage because of one simple motion. Like, we can't. We're so terrible. Down the stretch, we had Jair Brown 3 times in man coverage against Travis Kelce off of simple motions. They won all 3 of those reps and got 3 first downs and a touchdown on those plays. So, like, I already know, like, you shouldn't be able to get C.D. Lamb manned up with a linebacker or a safety. That should never happen in the NFL, modern NFL. Nick Sorensen is going to find a way. That's just what it is. He's going to find a way. So that's my biggest concern. Blue chip, best on best. Debo versus CeeDee Lamb. That's what it should be. If I was the defensive coordinator, I would legitimately say D'Amador Lenore, wherever CeeDee Lamb goes, you follow that dude. Every play of the whole game. And we might be in zone, but he has that zone drop to that side. That's what I would do. Nah, anyway. Right here, filthy casual. Sorensen going to be putting Campbell on Lamb. Yeah. In zone, I get it. That's not a concern. But I wouldn't be shocked at all if we get Devondre Campbell on CeeDee Lamb and man. After watching the tape, we run man coverage 23% of the time and almost every single third down. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked at all. Gosh, sucks, man. Our defense sucks. All right, 49ers offense, flip the side. Our best matchup is Kittle versus anybody. They have nobody, linebacker, safety, Jordan Lewis, their nickel guy, that can mess with Kittle. He should go off. He should be the first read on everything. Them, I'm going to go Jordan Lewis, their slot guy out of Michigan, against Ricky Pearsall. Now, I think Jordan Lewis is a decent corner, but he's a physical corner. Ricky Pearsall got rerouted two or three times in the game last week against the Chiefs. Dude about fell down every single time. Now, this was my major critique of him coming out of college. This was my major critique of him in, in preseason and in training camp, whenever he did play, which he didn't play much. He cannot be rerouted. Whenever somebody puts his hands on him, he flies. So Cowboys are actually pretty good at that. Zimmer's good at that. So that's a concern. I hope that we get more of Ricky Pearsall on the outside against outside corners. I don't want him inside around linebackers because he just gets discarded. And blue on blue, best on best. I'm going Jordan Mason versus Eric Kendricks. And I'll say it, Jordan Mason coming off maybe one of his worst games as a pro. His vision ran the wrong way several times. We talked about this last show with Ant. But him versus Eric Kendricks, that's going to be fun. I'm pretty excited about that one, actually. But Kittle should kill, man. Now, if you've got like a stake where you're just like, man, Kittle's going to go off, Pearsall's going to go off, Cowan's going to go off, man, go make some money. If you know what to do, go bet on it, and here's where you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games, you know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag, use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit, and MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
So, and I'll be honest with you, I don't know how to bet this game currently. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. We post all our bets over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon channel. Right now, the 49ers are 4.5 points. The NFL doesn't know how to score this game. It started off at 5.5 point favorites, then 5, then 4.5, went all the way down to 4, then jumped back to 4.5. Like that, those are huge. That's a 1.5 swing. Lots of players in or out. It's Parsons playing, Debo, Juwan, like, this is a weird one, guys. And it's pretty damn hard just to predict what the 49ers are going to do anyway. Because Kyle's, he's two different people. Everything's predicated on the run, but that dude abandons the run nonstop. And it's like you get one bad run play, and then you just pass, pass, pass. You can get all the interceptions of the world. That won't push Kyle away from throwing the ball more. You're at 50% completion percentage. Still won't run the ball. So it's just hard to predict. Defensively, golly, will we stop running man ever? Will we stop putting Devondre Campbell and Jair Brown in man coverage situations against the other team's best players? No, we will not. No matter what. No matter what wide receivers are out, it's not going to happen. So it's just hard to predict. And, you know, I say it every week, just stay in zone, run your scheme. Everything will be fine. But golly, man, what's going to happen? Just force the Cowboys to earn it. That's what I want. Force them to beat you. If they beat you in zone and dink dunk down the field and execute and develop a running game and have long sustained drives, great. Just don't give it to them on third down like you have been every team in the NFL. Don't do that anymore. Stop it. Stop going cover one man. Stop it. What's that Michael Jordan gif where he's like, I think it was like one of the drug commercials back in the 90s where he's just like, stop it. Stop. Like, oh, come on, man. Stop doing that. Force them to earn it. Force them to earn it. Because the Cowboys haven't proven they could do that. Saints, Giants, Lions, none of those are great defenses. They could do it against any of those teams. Force them to earn it. When you're on offense, run the ball. Play action, screens, simple, simple, simple. Allow your guys, your studs, your Jimmy and Joes to beat their Jimmy and Joes. You have better. The rosters are not even comparable, man. They're laughable, the difference with the 49ers roster versus the Cowboys roster. It's not even comparable at any position. At any position, the 49ers have an advantage across the board. It's not even close, even with Ayuk out. But coaching matters. You're not playing a good coach team. But you can't let them out-coach you. You look at the losses that the 49ers had, okay? You lost to the Vikings, one of the best coached teams in the NFL. You lost to the Rams, one of the best coached teams in the NFL. Their roster sucks, but amazing coaching, and they highlight their superstars. You lost to the Cardinals, not one of the best coached teams in the NFL. They just wanted it more than you, and you laid down. You lost to the Chiefs, one of the best coach teams, probably the best coach team in the NFL. You have been able to beat poorly coached teams. Jets, awful. Patriots, awful. Seahawks, not awful, but not good yet. You can't get out-coached by Mike McCarthy. Not with that roster. You can't. I'm never a fire coach type of guy until it's been like over. I don't think you should fire Sorensen. I don't believe that. Brian Schneider, I think you should fire. Shanahan, I'm not even, it's the seat's not even hot, if I want to be honest with you. Are there critiques? Yes. You lose this game, I don't think that makes Shanahan's seat hot, but it's just like, golly, you have welcomed all of the hate. You lose to this roster with that coaching staff. It's a bad coaching staff. Oh. You know what's crazy? The over-under currently on Brock Purdy pass attempts is 31.5 pass attempts. And I'm just like, that is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I'm going to bet the under. But then I'm just like, ugh. I don't know if I can. Because Kyle panics and throws the ball so damn much. We threw the ball 31 times against the Chiefs. And that was, we had three interceptions and 50% completion percentage. We just kept airing it out. It was a two-point game in the fourth quarter. We threw the ball. I don't know, man. I'm just like, that's the easiest bet I've ever seen in my life is Brock Purdy under 31.5 pass attempts. And I can't bet it right now because I don't know what the hell Kyle's going to do. Is he actually going to run the ball? Because if he is, the Niners are going to win this game by multiple scores. But you added the injuries. You added the special teams. And it's just like, oof, I don't know. This is where we are. The 2024 season is a mess. It's a mess. The goal should be 35 rush attempts and 21 passing attempts, especially when Ayuk and Jennings are probably not playing. You got two new rookies, and you're playing against the worst run defense in the NFL. Run the damn ball, Kyle. It doesn't matter if the first down didn't work, buddy. I wish that Kyle saw the run game like he sees the pass game, where Kyle could throw, you know, we could have multiple interceptions and off mark, like misreads and whatever else. But that doesn't push Kyle away from passing. It pushes him to pass more. Ah. Mason should have 18 carries minimum. You run the ball 30 times. And Kittle should have 8+ targets. If not, that's a freaking, you're a war criminal. If George Kittle doesn't get 8+ targets with Ayuk, Jennings out, new rookies, throw the damn ball to the tight end. He should go all out, man. And get the rookies involved. That's cool, but on easy targets. Screens, out routes versus man coverage. Pearsall out route versus man coverage. That should be the first play. First time you recognize his man. I know we don't audible and all that stuff. We do have can-can calls, but whatever. I'm not going down that rabbit hole. Make simple plays for the rookies to get them involved. We are the least screen team in the NFL, which is just unreal to me. Gosh, get out there. Oh, Josh, what's up? We got a new member. Josh Bloom became a YouTube member. Thank you for the support, Josh. You are the freaking man. You are the freaking man. Filthy casual. Kyle has way too much faith in Purdy. I love Purdy. But golly, his bad games always compound. You look at his five worst games, they get worse, worse, not better, better. Yeah, right here. His dad, Mike, was pass heavy, but he had Steve Young and Jerry Rice. Yeah, just go. Junior, right here. Attack the cornerbacks using Cowing. Cowing got 12 snaps last game. Ronnie Bell got 24. The only thing Ronnie Bell attacks is the ground because he falls down all the time. Ah, I hated saying that. That was not nice. If special teams wasn't involved, I would bet the farm on the 49ers. That's how bad the Cowboys are coached, how bad their team is. But they're coming off a bye. Special teams are involved. Not sure who all is playing, so we'll have to see here. 49ers should win by a lot. This is state of the 2024 49ers. We got to see what we get. CMC ain't walking through that door this week. Greenlaw ain't walking through that door this week. Robert Saleh is not walking through that door. Steve Wilks ain't walking through it. If Steve Wilks was on our sideline, I would bet so much on the Niners. But we don't have Steve Wilks. We got Sorensen. We got special teams, miscues. And we got Kyle, who's scared to run the ball more than once. I love this team. I do. I just think our identity is kind of lost. But if I'm going to bring this show home, I think the 49ers win. I think it's going to be ugly, and I think it comes down to the last few minutes of the game. Should be a blowout. But the Niners have found ways to keep bad teams in games. I have the 49ers winning 20-17, not covering the spread. We'll have to see what happens with injuries. I'll post all the bets tomorrow, maybe Sunday morning, with it being a Sunday night game. That's going to be up on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. But sometimes it's who you are that matters more than everything else. You are the 49ers. You are the team of Dwight Clark and Joe Montana. You are the team of the catch. Beat this damn team because it matters. Because it matters. It matters more than most games. It does to me. And I know it does to a lot of you guys. Love y'all. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Get this damn win. We'll be live right after the show. I'll be at the game. So we'll see how, if it's a drunken rant and if I go crazy or what happens. But celebrate with us or come to a therapy session after the game right here on this channel. Appreciate you guys. Go get the win, man. This game matters so much. Till next time, stay strong, faithful.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.